Before we open the Bible, let us pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to you today. You know the hearts and minds of all of us. We live a week behind us and have another one ahead of us. We give everything to you. And as we read the Bible, please speak to us. Bless the reading and the explanation of the scriptures today. And may we leave this place with a good decision in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times I have asked myself, if Jesus would live in the 21st century and he would come and be our visitor today, and he would be invited to speak, he would be invited to preach, what would he speak about? How would he speak about? What would he say to many of us, or to us, or would he preach to certain individual? Would he preach to us as a church? What would be his topic? Then I thought, if the Apostle Paul, who is one of the main authors of the Bible, actually a lot of the Old Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul traveled through different cities, different churches, and he spoke many times to people. I wondered, in my mind, I said, if the Apostle Paul will come to Hillcrest today, if I will be able to recognize him, I'll say, Brother Paul, come here. You take the pulpit, I will sit down. What would he speak about? What would he talk to us about? Would he make reference to any social, political events and the world and the events around us? I believe he would. Would he use any illustrations related to the events that are happening today? And I thought that he will probably do that. And as I'm reading sometime the news on my phone and looking to see, get an idea about what happens, I grew up in a society where the media was controlled by the government, so I didn't pay any attention to what was in the news at that time. I don't know how much is the case today, but I read the news. So how much is the truth, how much is political, how much is manipulation? I believe that there is a lot of manipulation in the media. I was reading a book some years ago and someone said, in the World War II, the ones who have the atomic bomb won the war. Today, who owns the media control the masses. So, but I read the media sometime, and one of the major events that happened this week are the Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan. And I'm amazed of how much of this event is actually in the media. So if the Apostle Paul will be here today, I would ask the Apostle Paul, Brother Paul, what do you think of the whole thing about these Olympic Games? And it would be an interesting conversation with the Apostle Paul about the Olympic Games. And I thought of a few things, but I'm not going to get into that because of time. One thing I have to say, I don't believe that the Apostle Paul will endorse the competitive games. I think that I believe from what I understand reading in the Bible, the Apostle Paul would have no part in it, in encouraging us to be in competitions with one another in any way, and that includes the games. But and besides that, I think the Apostle Paul might use some of these events or some of these illustrations just to make a spiritual point. So today, I will use that in a way as we read the Bible and try to make connections with spiritual things. I would make reference to games, especially to one of the oldest competitive games in the Olympics, which is racing. Short distance, long distance, and on. So this morning, I would like to ask three questions. But before I ask the questions, let's read the first passage today. And there is no PowerPoint. I usually use PowerPoint. Today I decided not to. And one reason is I don't want us to drift from the Bible. Obviously, media, it's used by all of us, including myself, having an iPad today. But actually, the most important thing is to hold the Bible in our hands. So this morning, I invite you to grab your Bible, to have your Bible with you, and to read from the Bible with me. I was in a church, not a Seventh-day Adventist church, once visiting, and I was surprised that the Bible was not opened. I mean, the speaker spoke, the preacher spoke, and he said a lot of things, but nobody opened the Bible. So I would invite you to take the Bible, because eventually, whatever you believe, whatever I believe, has to be based on the Bible. So I gave up on the PowerPoint. I will use it. I'm not saying that I'm not going to use it, but today, have a Bible and follow me through the Bible. So as the Bible and the Apostle Paul uses the Christian faith, the Christian walk with God, and compares it with a race, the first question today is, are you in this race? And I'd like to read a passage again written by the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I have to say that I love to see visitors that are coming to our church that don't know how to skip through the Bible. It means that they're right at the beginning and they want to learn. I wish I can tell you the page. Maybe I should do that next time, to get one of the pew Bibles and tell you right where you can find it. I'll do that probably next time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading beginning verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And then in verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I brought it into subjection, lest when I have preached others, I myself should not be disqualified. And now verse 25, which was in the middle. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So the Apostle Paul says there are many people engaged in these competitions, and they compete for a crown or for a prize which passes away. But we are in this race for an imperishable crown, being in the race for the imperishable crown. I believe that many of us are, I mean, life, it's a race for most of the people. People wake up in the morning, go to bed late at night. We are all running. The question is, which race are we running in? Are you in this race, which is that race for the imperishable crown? As I was looking through the news, I was curious. Because one title was the value of the Olympic medals. And I said, oh, let me see, what's the value of actually the Olympic medals? And they put a dollar value. They said that the top medal, it's valued, just the object itself, about $870. Silver, $490, bronze, $2.40. And they said, this is actual value of these medals. There is, in most of the country, there is a sum of money that has been given, that is given to those who compete. And the value varies very much. In the United States, as I understand, $37,500 is a gift that the one who wins the golden medal is receiving. In other places, it's much more. You wonder, those who run, those who compete, why do they do it? Because they put a lot of time and effort. I was looking at some of that. I couldn't imagine myself being there at the start line and being there under that very tense moment when you hear, go, and everybody's running and running and running. It must be a very exhausting experience. Some of them last for just minutes. What's the prize? What are they They are racing. Why are they racing for? The Apostle Paul in the Bible says, run, but choose to run in the race for the unperishable, imperishable crown, the crown that God is going to give in the end to those who love and obey him. So the first question this morning is, are you in the race? Which race are you in? Are you in this race? Are you in the race of faith, running as God wants us to run? Or are you running in a different, direction? Today we had a number of people that have been baptized and they are beginning the race. Wonderful. Welcome to the race. Baptism, we have to say, is not the celebration of the end of the race. Baptism is just the beginning of it. And I'm looking at some of the people, many of them were young people. And I hope you'll stay in the race. Just remember, this is the beginning of the race. And I'm looking at this wonderful couple here on the first bench. They are still here in the bench, on the first row. Welcome to the race. And I hope you will continue in the race. But the first question again for many, and even for some of the visitors that are here with us today, the question is, are you in the race? Are you in this particular race? The second question is, and by the way, in the bulletin, you have the notes of the sermons, very simplified, but you have the notes if just in case you want to go home and look over them again. You have this in the bulletin. The second question today is, are you still in the race? We read in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew is the first gospel written by one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. In chapter 20, again, and I'm flipping through the Bible with you, verse 16 says, so the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. So according to the Bible, those who begin the race are many, right? Many are in the race. But according to the Bible, for whatever reason, few are chosen. In other words, few are actually those that finish the race. So the question today is, are you still in the race? And along the years, I have seen people being baptized. But you wonder how many of those who are baptized will actually finish the race. You actually wonder, Hillcrest, supposedly it's a large church. How many of us will finish the race? The implication is that something happens or certain things will happen along the race and not everybody's going to finish. I was thinking of a few reasons, three of them. One of them is distractions, or what the Bible calls it, the love of the world. And I was reading in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young co-worker by the name of Timothy. And in the second book of Timothy, in chapter 4, verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy actually is the last of the letters of the Apostle Paul. And he writes to a group of people. Actually, he's writing to Timothy about a group of people. Chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read 9 and 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly. And he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So the Apostle Paul mentions the name of someone who, if you read the Bible, his name is actually mentioned about three times in the Bible. The name of this man is called Demas. In the book called Philemon, in chapter 1, verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. So this Demas, once for sure, was a co-worker, was a together laborer with the Apostle Paul. So he's running the race. This man Demas, he was in the race. But something happens with Demas when he abandons the race. And the reason is, as the Bible says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. As I would imagine, the race is people are running and running and running, and someone from the sides waves to them, to the runners, and say, hey, stop just for a moment, get some ice cream. I mean, don't run, don't be so committed to this thing running. Just take a break and come here with me, have lunch, and let's drink together something. Let's do something else. Let us do something else. And probably some of the runners, enticed by the advertisement and by the pleas of those who are aside, abandons the race, as the Bible says, for the love of the world. So one of the reasons for abandoning the race, and I have seen some people that happily were baptized and celebrating and receiving flowers and gifts and everything else, but along the way, they have abandoned the race for the love of the world. They went back in the world from where they come, from where they came from. The second reason is accidents, stumbling. I remember when I was a teenager in the physical education class, we were running, and I was in the high school, and we were running around a place, and somehow there was an obstacle. It was not intentionally put there, but there was an obstacle. It was a beam, a wood beam there, and we're just, it was not too high, maybe 2 feet high, and we had to jump over, and we were jumping over, and one of my friends, as he intended to jump over, somehow he caught it with his foot, and he actually, fortunately, he was a very athletic guy. Instead of just falling down to the ground, he was able to roll and continue the race. But he stumbled for a moment. So in this race, there are some accidents, and we stumble. The Apostle Peter, in chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. So there is a possibility of stumbling. There is a possibility for having accidents. There are many people that have started this Christian race wonderfully. Some of them are prominent people. Pastors, evangelists, church leaders of one kind or another. And along the race somewhere, they stumble and they have fallen. And some of them never got back into the race. So there is the possibility that in this racing, Christian racing, or living the Christian life from this perspective, as you are in the run, as I am in the run, at one point to stumble over people, to stumble over events, to stumble over things in the personal life. I know the story, the sad story of a family. They are missionaries, and I think they are missionaries in Russia. A wonderful young couple, missionaries in Russia, having children, they came home for a vacation. As they were spending their vacation and enjoying the time back in the United States with plans to go back, one of their children drowned in the swimming pool at home. It was a tragedy. They never went back to the mission field. Not only, they have abandoned the faith completely. It happens. So those of us who are in the race, we have to remember that sometime there is the possibility for stumbling and getting into some accidents. Do not stop the race. Don't give up the race just because of accidents. So that's another possibility. The third reason is definitely tiredness and exhaustion. You can be exhausted. And Here comes the passage we read in Hebrews, which is our scripture reading for today in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the Apostle Paul makes it very clear. We are in the race. You are in the race. But being in the race is not enough. You have to run the race with endurance. And in this race sometime, you get tired. You get very exhausted. Again, at the personal level, personal challenges and the race become exhausting. Some have way more challenges than others. Alina told me about some of our good friends from Fresno. He's an elder in church, about 45 years old. 3 children at home. And he got sick. He got very, very sick. He is intubated. He has been intubated and unconscious for a number of days. Actually, last Sunday morning, they didn't know if he's going to survive or not. And it has been very, very, very difficult. Very difficult. His chances for survival are hanging on a very, very thin line. Christian life is challenging. It's not always easy. Welcome to the race. As Seventh-day Adventists, we welcome you today, give you wonderful gifts, we rejoice with you. But I have to say, after being many years in this race, sometimes it gets exhausting and very tiring, and you think to give up, and you think of just quitting, and say, forget it. Do not give up. Don't be surprised that you may come to these moments of tiredness and extreme exhaustion, either be in your personal life because events happening in your own life or because of other events. Some of them might be church-related. I read many years ago the story of a marathon runner. He was an Ethiopian. And these people know how to run. As I understand, they are some of the greatest champions in the marathon running. And I remember reading a story of one of them. His name was, because I think he died, Abebe Bikila, an Ethiopian guy. In 1960, he was running his first marathon in Rome. And he's an African guy coming from Africa to compete against lots of people from the world. And he said, let me buy a new pair of shoes. And he bought a new pair of shoes. And he's ready to run. And the run starts. Or I think he was using them a little bit before. Well, it's a marathon runner. It's lasting over 2 hours of running and competing with other people. It's about 40 kilometers, I think it's 26 miles and something. At one point, he realizes that his shoes are becoming very uncomfortable. He develops blisters. He takes off his shoes. He throws his shoes, and he's running barefoot on the streets of Rome in the afternoon. He competed with the rest of the people with new shoes and very good equipment, and he's barefoot running, and he ran with endurance, as the Bible says, and he finished the race, and he won the race, actually. He won the race, and he's one of the fewer to win 2 back-to-back marathons, Olympic marathon. He won in 1960, and he won the next one in 1964. He endured, and he won. So I'm going to read the passage from the Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Are you still in the race is the second question. Then the first question, are you in the race? Have you been committed? Have you committed yourself to this race? The first question. The second question, are you still in the race? Am I still in the race? The third question for today and the last one is, will you finish the race? What matters the most is actually to finish the race and to finish the race well. The Apostle Paul, again, the Apostle Paul in the book, the same letter we've read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 8. For I am ready, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. We have to remember that Paul writes this letter after he met for the second time King Nero, the horrible Roman King Nero. He was allowed to plead his case in front of Nero. Nero didn't listen, didn't care, political pressures. I mean, Paul was completely, totally innocent, but he was sentenced to death anyway. And the Apostle Paul knows that very well. And he writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day, and not only to me, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul is ready to finish the race, and he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to finish the race. He knows that at any time a soldier may come in his cell without not much of an explanation, draw the sword, and cut his head. And the apostle says, I'm ready. I'm ready to finish my race. I have actually finished my race. I'm waiting for the crown. What a beautiful ending. So the question is, are you going to finish the race? Are you going to finish the race well? Because there is another perspective in the Bible, or there is another concept in the Bible. You know, in the other churches, people are teaching a concept which is usually expressed under the idea, once you have been saved, you are always saved. And it does happen that I talk to some of the people and they have told me, they said, no, once you have given your life to Christ, no matter what, you will be saved in the end. It doesn't matter. Actually, I was visiting a Sunday church one Sunday morning, not here, but in Washington. We had a small church there, and they had a nice gym, and we were planning to use their gym, and I had to go and talk to the pastor. So I attended their services, and then I was planning to go to speak with the pastor. The pastor was not there. Someone else was preaching. And he was strongly preaching about this concept that once you are saved, it doesn't matter, you'll be always saved. And when the sermon was over, I went to him and I said, if I understand you saying, if I hear you right, you say that once I have accepted Christ in my life, after that, no matter what happens, I will be always saved. And I says, yes, that's true. And I said, so are you telling me that even if I was baptized, I told him I was baptized when I was 15, I stumbled many times after that. I went back into the race, but I stumbled and I could very well have taken off going somewhere else. Would you tell me that God will save me anyway, irrespective of what I do? He says, yes, God is sovereign and he will save you whatever. If my understanding is correct from what the people would say, I don't see that as being biblical. Because the Bible actually says there is a passage in the Old Testament in the Ezekiel chapter 18. If you are curious about that, or if you have friends that believe in this idea, once saved, always saved, take them to Ezekiel chapter 18, because there in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible says, if there is an evil man, and he lives an evil life, almost all his life, but somehow towards his life, he turns his life to God. All his past is forgiven him. and he will be saved. The flip side of that is, if there is a man who lives a righteous life all his life, but at one point in his life, he turns his back to God and follows evil, all his righteousness doesn't count. He'll be lost. And that's what I read in the Bible. Again, Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 to 24. You read the passage. And we have in the Bible people going both ways. There is a known prophet in the Bible. His name was Balaam. Balaam was God's prophet. But if you read his story, you'll perish along with other evil men. The fact that he was a prophet didn't mean anything. King Saul in the Bible had a wonderful beginning, but he lost his life in the end because he just abandoned the race. On the other hand, we see King Manasseh. If you read the Bible also in the Old Testament, King Manasseh, an evil, evil man and an evil, evil king, he ended up as a slave in Babylon. Amazingly, he turned his life to God. He repented of his sins, and God forgave him. So it goes both ways. The Apostle Paul ended the race, the Christian race, in a wonderful way, and he said, I finished my race, and I finished my race well. I'd like to read now Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, because the question is, how am I going to finish well? What am I supposed to do to finish well? And the Apostle Paul says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So who is going to help me and you finish the race? It is Jesus that will help us to finish the race. He is the one who helped us begin and get into this race. But in the end, he is the finisher. He is the one who helped us finish the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Jesus himself was an example in finishing the race well. So, coming close to the end of our study this morning, there are three questions. The first question, are you in this race? The second question was, are you still in the race? And the third question is, are you going to finish well? My prayer today is that we will finish well. And I will end reading a passage from a wonderful book called The Acts of the Apostles, written by Ellen White. And she says, such is not the case in the Christian warfare. Not one who complies with the conditions will be disappointed at the end of the race. Not one who is earnest and persevering will fail of success. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The weakest saint, as well as the strongest, may wear the crown of immortal glory. All may win who, through the power of the divine grace, bring their lives into conformity to the will of Christ. The sentence, all may win. All may win. So my prayer today is that in the race, me and you and your loved ones and many others will finish the race and will finish the race well. Amen.